Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you're listening to this at night, I pray that your night is going well too. If you are a first-time listener to this podcast or audio stream, we are in a series, a spiritual warfare series, preaching/teaching series. So I only say this because this is your first time listening, this is part 19, a spiritual warfare preaching and teaching series. If you're on this site and you're listening to this message, then all you have to do is scroll down and you'll see part 18, part 17, part 16. Last week we looked at, it was part 18. We looked at power, and we'll be in the same scripture that we were in last week. That scripture is 1 Timothy 1, verse 7, 1 Timothy 1 through 7. And we're dealing with the topic here, spirit of fear. And we've been on this kind of fear for almost a month now. The Lord wanted me really to go into this part, this aspect of spiritual warfare for whatever reason. He knows why. He knows who's listening. He knows who will listen. That's the correct way to say that, I guess. So if you're a first-time listener, I encourage you to stroll down to find part one and listen to all 19 parts. You will get the full impact of this preaching and teaching series. And of course, if you guys have been listening for a little while and following this ministry, thank you for your support by sharing and listening to these sermons and teachings on this website. Of course, the goal of this ministry is to use every means that God has given me, and I pray that you feel the same way, to reach this world with the gospel. I am a nobody trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit led you to this website and you're listening right now. If you're new, and if you've been listening, praise Jesus. So 1 Timothy 1:7, we will read that scripture. This is our springboard scripture here. And then we'll pray and we'll get into the message. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Heavenly Father, as we just go into this message, if you've laid on my heart to preach and teach on, God, Holy Spirit, move. Those that are listening, open their ears, Lord, and their hearts to what you need to speak into their life. I don't know where they are in their life. I may not even know their name. I do know a few that contact me periodically that listen to this, and praise Jesus for them. And knowing they can reach out to me anytime they need to. But we go through situations, we go through challenges in this life that can rattle us, that can shake us. It creates this spirit of fear in our hearts that can be gripping, terrifying. We might not know where we can go, but I can tell you one place that we should already know. We can go to the sweet embrace of our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that wants to fill us with His presence, with His joy, with His peace. To cling to that anchor of our salvation, the anchor of hope within those storms, the waves, that can feel like our boat is about to be overturned. But he's in the boat with those that are his. We have to get past ourselves and put our eyes firmly on the master of the storms. Jesus never told us that this life would be easy. And Jesus never tells us that we will not be persecution. And Jesus never tells us that there won't be suffering. But he does tell us numerous parts in the Bible, take comfort, for he will be with us and he will guide us and he will direct us. Let's keep that in mind as we journey through this life. Lord, I pray anybody hear this, they are feeling the strain of anxiety. They're feeling the strain of depression. And yes, the spirit of fear. God, we lift them up in your holy name. We pray that the enemy, Satan, his demons, that has this hold on their life, Lord, we pray in your name for it to be broken. We pray, Lord, that within this chain being broken, our chains being broken from their being, this frees their mind up to see the scriptures, the power of the scripture, the power of your word that we have. We don't have to be victims to the spirit of fear, as you tell us in your word. Because we have power, love, and sound mind. All three is very important to understand. And that's why we're going through this. We pray all this in your beautiful and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, last week, we looked at power. And how God has given us the power to break that spirit of fear. Now, spirit of fear comes from Satan. This fear is no joke. I can think back last year, and the year before that, when COVID hit. And majority of churches here in America shut their doors. Why do they do this? When the government coined churches non-essential, why did most of American churches go along with that when they shut their doors? They will use every excuse in the book as you can think, but the true reason is they let the spirit of fear grip their hearts. Even those churches professing to have healing ministries closed their doors. Guess what now? Their doors are wide open and people are running right up to them again. Man, how Satan is so deceptive. It just blows my mind. A healing ministry that's supposed to heal the sick closes their door because of COVID. Why? The spirit of fear is powerful. Satan's been doing this for a while. He's been wedging or... using the spirit of fear, and he will use it to the very end. But see, as a child of God, we should not never be operating in the spirit of fear. As with COVID, I said, and I was tagged from my stand, if you're sick, stay home. That's just common sense. Like with anything, you're sick, stay home. But the churches should keep their doors open and not shut them. What do you think is going to happen when the Antichrist comes into power? And those who refuse to keep on, that will refuse to not silence the voice of truth by God using them to preach the gospel of truth and refusing to take the mark of the beast. We will be arrested. We'll be silenced one way or the other. It could possibly be death. but majority of the American Christians, I use that term very loosely because they profess Christ, but their hearts are so far from Christ, it's not even funny. They're not truly His. They will give in to the Antichrist. And they will take the mark because of what? The spirit of fear. Now you guys may know, if you're new, you already know where I'm going to go. I mean, if you're new, you don't know where I'm going with this. If you've been listening for this for a while, you know what I'm about to say. You know where I stand when it comes to eschatology, to the end times. I am post-trib. Now, when you hear that, you may wonder what that is, or you may already know what it is, and you may not even like it at that point in time. You may be ready to tune me out, turn me off. And I pray that you do not do this. Don't tune me out. There are many that are clinging to the pre-trib and mid-trib view. But I want to tell you, and I want to stress this. Don't cling to the pre-trib and mid-trib so fastly. So this is reality. This is fact. This is going to happen. Even not leaving no room that you could be not correct. I'll tell you, a lot of people are clinging to these as they're standing as these are correct. This is fact. This is what's going to happen in reality. When we look at scripture and when we study eschatology and revelation, and there's a lot of pre, mid, post, there's so much we can talk about, and I'm not even going to talk about all of that, and that's not the purpose of this message, but what I want to point out, the spirit of fear. But if you're clinging so hard to that is truth, that is reality, and the Antichrist is revealing, you see the Antichrist, and I believe those that live there, you know, in the next 50, 60 years, and I'm not a date setter. I am nowhere. The Antichrist will be revealed. The Antichrist of the end time is probably already has been revealed, but we just do not know who this man is. Some will debate it. It's not a man, but we're not going to go there. Jesus is very clear. This is a man. But when you see the Antichrist, and you say, hey, that can't be the Antichrist, because why? We haven't been raptured yet. This is a danger, brother and sister. Or when you see the one world religion and one world government sit up right in front of your eyes and the mark of beast is implement, and it will not be something confusing. It will be the system that the one world government uses and the one religion. It will be so plain laid out, it's not going to be confusing. But then, I will say that, but there will be, I believe, still people looking at it and say, hey, that can't be the one world government, even though there's one world government controlling the world, and there's a one world religion, and they're like, you know, this can't be it because we haven't been raptured yet. Could they have strong delusions like that? Yes. I pray they don't. I pray at that point in time, their eyes are open to the truth, and they do not get the mark of the beast. They get that and they realize they will have to endure persecution that they never thought they would have to endure. And this right here, just talking about it, you may start being fearful. But guess what? We are not given to the spirit of fear. We should not let it grip our hearts. We should say God's will be done, not ours. Whatever role God has us during this time, we take it and we run with it. We do not back down. We stand firm on what? The truth. And I pray that you have not tuned me out or turned me off, but many probably will. That breaks my heart. Because the pre-trib is huge. It's a big money maker. And there's many that are popular that preaches the pre-trib. When that day comes, and they realize they have led and preached this wrong, at that point it's not even going to matter. When the Antichrist takes point in place, literally hell on earth is going to develop. But this should not create that spirit of fear in our life. Because we have what? Power. And we talked about that last. We talked about the power that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And this go around, we're talking about love. And how love can overcome this spirit of fear. Now 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has what? Torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. This fear right here is pointing to the spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear is from Satan. This fear will cause you torment. Meaning Satan will. And if you allow him, will wrap those chains around you. And drag you into that deep and cold abyss. This abyss will engulf your soul. And your hope be completely drained. Remember, Satan's MO, Satan's goal is John, one part of you see that is John 10:10. Says the thief comes not but for to what? To steal and to kill and destroy. That first half gives us Satan in a nutshell. He does not change. He wants to cause you as much harm as he can possibly can. As much as you will allow him. But that second part of that John 10:10 tells us. I, that is Jesus Christ, says, I am come that you may have life. And we should have it more abundantly. I want to tell you, if you're living in the spirit of fear, you are not having a life more abundantly. You have allowed Satan to steal this from you. Now, I am not talking about God will give you all the nice material stuff of this world. No, I'm not a prosperity gospel. Although if I was, I'd probably be living in a $50 million mansion right now, because people eat it up left and right and they beg for more. Sad. People will give their money to guys like that while they should be seeking men like me to sponsor. Oh, how we live in the last days. But Jesus promises us a true abundant life. And what a abundant life is not materials of this world. In the end, when you die physically and or one day you may see Jesus Christ coming in the clouds, right? What joy unspeakable. What peace that cannot be contained. That we should be, even within the situations and the challenges and the trials of this life, they're only temporary. One day this life will be gone and you will be living in one life or a new life. This will either be with Jesus Christ, if you truly are a child of God, or with Satan, if you truly are a child of Satan. Heaven or hell, right? They both exist. Do not let nobody tell you these places do not exist. Well, most of the time they will be okay with heaven. But when we talking about the reality of this eternal damnation of hell, they are removed. They love their sin too much to give up the pleasure of this life. It will send them straight to the pit of eternal damnation. But you don't have to go there. I have a ton of salvation messages on this website, and I encourage you to find one and listen to it. Write the scriptures down, right? Go back over the scriptures for yourself. If you're truly seeking God, and you truly want to confess and believe in Him, God will come into your life, and you will be forever changed. You see, our hope goes beyond this world, right? If your hope is in this world, this will leave you empty. If your hope is in your family, your job, your career, or even yourself, this hope will fail you. It will leave you empty. But when our hope lies in Jesus Christ, Him as the true anchor of our soul, He will never fail you. No matter how difficult this life gets, you know in the end, this life is only temporary. One day you will get to go to your true home if you are His. And there will be no more sorrow or no more pain. Praise God for that. We'll really back in here to 1 John 4:18. And let's just read that again. I love God's word, and I pray that you do too. I want His word to shine on me daily as a sun from the sky, right? I want His word to give me a sunburn, right? That penetrates my whole body. Burn me with your word, God. Saturate me with your truth. And when we look at 1 John 4:18, let's read that. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has what? Torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. This verse tells us perfect love casts out fear. No fear, no spirit of fear in this perfect love. I want to ask you, what is perfect love? If I was going to ask you this question, how would you respond? How would you ponder what is perfect love? And I got one phrase here to tell you what perfect love is, and one central word here, but is the cross. That article, the cross. The cross takes center stage. The cross is true love. Just a few weeks ago, we had Resurrection Sunday. It was time for us to collect as churches to reach out to our community and pray that this is not the only time we're reaching out to our communities. We should hold fast, hold strong on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ every day. He is risen. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Such a beautiful hymn, and it's so true. But before the resurrection, Jesus Christ had to face the cross. See, the cross was for those criminals that deserve a full punishment of the law. And did our Jesus Christ deserve this punishment? Did our Jesus Christ deserve to face such horrible death? That pain, that torment. Did Jesus Christ sin? Our Jesus Christ did not deserve the punishment of the cross. He was perfect, that perfect Lamb of God. He had no sin. We deserve the punishment of the cross. We deserve the pit of hell. But Jesus Christ tells us that He loves us so much that He was going to take on the cross. He has made that bridge for us to come where we are right now to Him. No animal sacrifice is needed anymore. One perfect Lamb of God laid His life down for you and me. The blood was shed for a wretched sinner like me. I have violated the law. I deserve death. But His blood was shed for that remission of my sin. I deserve hell. I do not deserve this type of love. I do not deserve His grace and mercy because I am wretched. He gave His love to me. He gave His love to you. He gave His love to this world. His graces and mercies beyond what I can comprehend. My little mind, finite mind, cannot wrap around the love that Jesus Christ has done for me. Through the cross, that bridge, we could cross Him from everlasting damnation to everlasting life. That doesn't do something to your soul, you have problems. If that doesn't do something to your life, you got problems. The cross. Oh, how beautiful it is. The resurrection. If the cross and the resurrection is enough, then I don't know what is. I don't know what you else need. He doesn't need to do anything else. He went through so much pain and suffering. More pain and suffering than any of us will ever experience in our lifetime. And if you're going through pain and suffering in your life and wonder why you're still experiencing this, why God has not delivered you from that situation or that challenge, know this. He is God, yes. And that situation, that challenge, is rocking your world. There's a reason, I promise you, for that situation. There's a reason for that challenge. He is God. He knows. And if He has not delivered you yet from it, there's a reason why. But the cross is enough. John 3:16, right? But read all the way down to John 3:16 to 21 to get a full grasp of this. That situation, that challenge that you're having, keep on moving, brother. Keep on moving, sister. I'm going to tickle my throat. Hold on. let me drink a little green tea here. There's a reason why you're experiencing what you're doing. Or there's a reason. There's a reason why you're going through your situation, your challenge. But we should know this life is only temporary. It will not last forever. This life is one dot compared to eternity. Do we get this? If we are blessed with 100 years, and when we die, we will live forever and one of two destinations, heaven or hell. So put this in perspective. If you're blessed, you live 100 years. That is just a dot compared to forever, for eternity. Oh, we get caught up in this life, right? But this life is short. We let self take over and we lose the full picture, the big picture of this life. We get one life to live, one life to reach someone with the gospel. Maybe more than one person. with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful opportunity for each and every one of us, our children of God, to share the love of Jesus Christ to this world. The answer, that question is, are you? I pray the answer is yes. Are you sharing that perfect love to this world? Or instead are you letting the spirit of fear grip your life in doing this? I pray that you understand that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out the spirit of fear. You may ask, how? Well, we know the spirit of fear is from Satan. And Satan is darkness. There is no light in him. And we know perfect love comes from who? God. God is light. Darkness cannot handle the light. So when we center our life in this perfect love, the cross, the light will shine so bright in our lives that the darkness around us will flee. Amen. Know this perfect love centers on Jesus Christ. Because we are His, He has called us to walk in the light. Meaning, if you are His, if you are His, there is this daily surrendering, this daily submission to Him, daily. Paul calls this dying daily. Now, I get this is not popular. The churches here in America don't want to talk about dying for anything. They want a gospel about themselves. They want to be the center of attention. They want it to be all about me, me, and guess what? Me. I am the center of God's universe. I am the master of my destination. My destiny. It's what God can do for me, not what God expects from me. This is another gospel. It's from the gospel of Satan that has penetrated our churches. Selfishness runs rampant. Sanctification is left at the back doors. Being holy is left at the back doors. Walking a life that is honoring God is left at the back door. This is another gospel. This is the gospel. This is the American gospel that has infiltrated our churches and the very seam. The world pours out of it. It's kicked Jesus out the back door. Injected this new gospel. They don't want to talk about dying daily. Matthew 16:24-26 says this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, what? Deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Man, they would have known back in those days what crucifixion consists of. And when he said the cross, that would have got their attention. It was the most horrific way to die back in those days. And I would argue it could be on the top 5 horrible ways to die. I would even argue the top 2 still today. Can you just imagine the cross? And it was just not the cross, it was the scourging. The ripping of his flesh, the blood that poured before they forced him up Mount Calvary to take the nails in his hands and feet. But if you just look at the crucifixion in itself, could you imagine being strung out on a beam? Having your hands stretched as far as they could possibly go, even dislocating your joints. And then nails about the size, 3 to 5 inches nails, like Google railroad spikes, basically. That's what, give or take, that's what they were using. Going through your hands, crushing your nerves, and then taking your feet, putting them together, and then crushing the bones within your feet and the nerves. And then being hung, then being lifted up. Your weight pouring down on your body, causing you to feel like you are suffocating. As you try to lift yourself up, the nails pull, you can feel the pain of them nails in your hands, and you're just trying to get some breath, but you're drowning, you're suffocating, you're screaming for help. They would understood the cross when he says this, and they would got a little bit. Of course, they fully got the rest of the story, or the full understanding of it when he rose from the dead. But they would understood the cross. They would understand the horrific, the grotesque watching these Roman soldiers crucify people. Verse 25 says, "For whosoever will save his life, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" This would have been a very popular message that Jesus is giving. And guess what? It's not a popular message today. Why? Because we want the world. It's about us. We don't want to suffer for nothing. We don't want to deny ourselves of nothing. We sure don't want to pick the painful, or even think of picking up a cross. Many say, "I want to follow you, Jesus." But do they understand truly what that means? It means when you come to Christ, all of your dreams, all of your hopes, your will, all of your purposes, doesn't mean nothing unless they line up with His. With His dreams for your life. For His hopes for your life. For His will for your life. With His purpose with your life. It's about Jesus Christ and Him being the center, not about you. Get over yourself. That is a problematic issue. We think it's all about ourselves. That is not what John 3:16 is about. It is about Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Yes, He died for our sins. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Yes, He did. That He gave His only begotten Son, and He did. that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's what Jesus did for you and me. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. It's about Jesus Christ and how he can use us. It's about understanding that we have all violated the law and we all deserve hell. And he tells us, no, you do not have to go to this place of eternal damnation. I have created this bridge for you through my Son. It's John 3:16-17 and 18 says, this is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We are at our nature evil. Do we get that? We are sinful. We are wretched. That is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than the light. Left to our own devices, we will choose darkness every time. But praise Jesus for his glorious light. Praise Jesus for the Holy Spirit that comes into our life. It's through the Holy Spirit that gives us the light. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power. It's the Holy Spirit that shows and shines this perfect love that should radiate through our life. And I pray that you have this perfect love. If you do have this perfect love, you want your life to match up with his. And when you do that, this perfect love counters, breaks that spirit of fear. In closing, remember these initial scriptures. I encourage you to memorize them. 1 Timothy 1:7 is, it's not really a hard scripture to memorize, and we will have one more session on this scripture, and I pray that you got this memorized and that you have a little bit better understanding of what God's trying to tell us in the scripture. 1 Timothy 1:7, I'm just going to read that again. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. God has given us love, and this love counters that spirit of fear. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. God's love is perfect. His love is best illustrated or demonstrated at the cross. That is perfect love. Within that perfect love, fear cannot exist. At the cross where our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for this world, his blood that had to be shed for a wretched sinner like me. Through the cross, Jesus Christ has created that bridge to the Father. He calls all us to cross this bridge. And I pray that you have. I pray that you truly have given your life to Jesus Christ. I pray that you have seek that you do not care about your will, but his. You do not care about your dreams or your purposes or your ways. If they don't line up with Jesus Christ, you could care less. You want him to guide you completely. You're okay with surrendering, submitting to Him, and denying yourself every day, and picking up that cross every day, and following Him every day. Just means our lives are no longer ours, right? Our hopes are no longer ours. We don't care about our will, we want His will. We don't care about our dreams, we want His dream. We seek Him daily. We want our life to line up with His. We want His glorious light to shine through us. And when this light shines through us, darkness will flee, I promise you. The spirit of fear will flee from our life. The hole that we have allowed Satan to have in our life, it will break. No matter what situation or challenge that you're facing right now, know this, if you are a child of God, Satan does not own you. He does not have the rights to your life. God does. God owns you. Yes, that situation, that challenge can cause your ground to shake, right? And your earth to shatter. But here's the thing, this life is brief. Just a dot on eternity. When this life is up, and today could be your last day. If you are a child of God, heaven is waiting for you. If you're not, then hell is waiting for you. Those are the only two options, and I pray, and I plead with you today. You don't have to go to this place of everlasting damnation. God never intended it for you to go there. This is why He has made a way through the cross. Is the cross is that bridge to everlasting life. As in the Old Testament, they had to do animal sacrifices, a lot of them. You don't believe me? Start reading through Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Leviticus. It's pretty dry reading. Those are part of the book of the law. They are pretty dry reading. Space yourself. But Jesus Christ, the ultimate Lamb of God, there has to be no more animal sacrifice because the perfect Lamb of God came. He died on that cross and He rose that third day from the grave. Praise His holy name. And when we look at that and we recognize what was done for each and every one of us, our hearts should break. A transformation, a regeneration should happen in our lives. And I pray that it has in yours. I just want to leave you with this question, guys. Do you have this perfect love inside you? I pray that you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just come closing this message out that you have given me, I pray over everyone that's hearing this message. I am praying over those that are seeking His face. I'm praying over those that are experiencing depression, anxiety on levels that are record-breaking. The answer is staring them right in the face. They constantly keep denying it. They're focusing on themselves more than what is important. This life is mere, a dot compared to eternity. When we die, our name will be forgotten. Our life will eventually be forgotten. But we are yours. You have not forgotten us. You have not forsaken us. What you have promised for those that love you, for your children, is beyond what this world could ever imagine. Even our darkest and challenging moments. And they can be dark, and they can be challenging, and they can rock us to our core, and they can shatter us into a million pieces. But we have this hope. We have this joy, we have this peace in Jesus Christ. Well, we know and we can endure and we can keep pressing on because we know one day the sorrow will end. We know one day the pain will end. We know one day that we will be in a place of everlasting joy and everlasting peace. Oh, how I cannot wait for that day. All the pain of this life, the suffering of this life, it will be no more. The tears in my eyes that I cry when I wake up and depression has swamped me down. My anxiety is over and I'm overflowing. I'm thinking, how can I make it through this day? Lord, how can I endure this day? And I lay my heart down, and I lay my heart down to the one that knows, that cares so much for me. He guides me. He directs me. He gives me that joy. He gives me that comfort. He gives me that strength to keep on pressing on. Thank you, God, for giving me that strength. God, thank you for being my true hope. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Oh, thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ to die for the sins of this world, that everybody has an opportunity to come to you. That gift that you have given everybody the opportunity. You don't will for any to perish. You don't will for anybody to go to everlasting torment, hell. Do we get how intense it is? We will spend eternity in one place or the other. One in everlasting joy forever and ever. As I was saying, we're blessed to have 100 years on this earth, but we may not even get that. But eternity's forever. 100 years ain't even nothing compared to the infinite of time that we will experience in one place or the other. 1,000,000 years, another 1,000,000 years, another 1,000,000 years, another 1,000,000,000 years, another 1,000,000,000 years. We will spend in one place or the other forever and forever. One in everlasting joy, one in everlasting peace, one where we can't grasp the beauty of it. And those that reject Christ, it will be the opposite. It will be everlasting screaming and hollering, oh, why, God? But you will not hear them. There will be no more rescue for them. They have made their choices, and now in the pit of hell, the fire burning their flesh, they will live forever in everlasting sorrow, crying, thirsty, but their thirst will not be met because why? They have refused to accept you. They refuse to truly believe in you and change their lives. God, I pray that those are His, that we keep striving and we keep pressing on, and we don't get tired of telling those that need to hear the gospel. The gospel that can pull them from the pit of their despair. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. As always, you guys can reach me through Facebook. Send me a message. If you do send me a message, just make sure you put this ministry on the heading, so I know that you've heard this, you know, you're following this ministry. And I'm just very careful who I add on my Facebook, that's all. I try to keep people that love Jesus Christ on my Facebook. Because I just view it as a ministry in a way. And I put a lot of other, you know, I put people I listen to throughout the week that are solid in Bible teaching. and, you know, articles and all that kind of stuff throughout the week, and devotionals, not just on this website, also on my Facebook page. You know, Facebook, and I have a private group on Facebook. Nobody can add, if you want on that group, you have to send me a request. So I have to evaluate that request. I just don't add nobody on that either, because Satan's hand is in motion and he always trying to cause chaos. I don't really do Twitter much or Instagram, but I do have accounts there. So if you want to reach out to me, that I check that maybe once a month. I don't really check those much. Also through this website, there is a email. So if you do email me, make sure you put Wake Up in Ministries on that subject title. So if it does go to spam mail, I can pick it up and be able to read it. And I will respond to you as fast as possible. If you don't do that and it goes to spam and I don't see it, then I can't respond to you because I've never seen it. Also, if you and those that do know me personally that have my cell phone number, you know you can definitely call me or you can definitely text me anytime you need to on any questions that you may be having. And I have guys that do that. So those are the ways to get a hold of me. This website is basically is not the fanciest thing in the world. Maybe one day I can fancy it out a little bit better, but right now, you know, the more fancy the website, the more money it costs, and all this money is fueled by me and my wife, so all the expense comes from us. So, but hopefully one day I would like to have a better website with, you know, a little bit better, but this is what it is, and God will use it any way that he needs. So you guys have a wonderful rest of your day or your night, your week or weekend. Remember to be the light, right? Shine for Jesus. Even when the things in your life are so challenging and taxing, let your light shine. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.